Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded. From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc, Zorba Pastor.
That's right. I'm here.
He's right there.
Right here.
We'll spend the
opposite each other. We're going to spend some time together, Carl.
Why don't you take the intro?
We're going to answer. I could take the intro. I think I could probably do it. Then you answer the questions.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think
our
listeners want that.
Come on, we can exchange it.
We're going to talk healthy living. We'll walk you through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and emails and a few of your voicemails as well. And if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, we'll discuss a few healthy living topics, Zorba.
Right. FDA rules for ads have changed. By the way, there are very, very few countries that allow drugs to be advertised. One is the United States, and the other is New Zealand.
Oh, interesting.
And that's pretty much about it. Hmm. So we're going to talk about the FDA that years ago decided you could do drug ads. Are they going to be better or not? And then we're also going to talk about small amounts of incremental vigorous physical exertion may really make a difference in women in terms of heart attacks and stroke.
Interesting stuff. And what's our recipe today?
Roasted parsnips and carrots. We don't do enough with parsnips. Parsnips are related to carrots. They're related to parsley. They're a root vegetable that we don't see much of. And they're really good, especially during this time of year when often we're looking for a dish that's a little bit different.
Sounds tasty. To the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's welcome our first caller now from El Paso, Texas. Hi.
Hello.
How can we help?
Well, I'd like to ask Dr. Zorba about the... by the way, I've been trying for years listening to Dr. Zorba, and maybe he could help me.
Oh, how nice.
This problem, doctor.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. We love our listeners all over the country, and El Paso is one of our first stations that we've had on the air, and you guys are great. Warmer weather than we have in Wisconsin for the most part.
Great food, too.
And great food. Oh, yeah. Really good food. So how can we help you?
Well, number one, myelodysplastic syndrome, which is a cancer of the blood, large blood cells, the red ones, doesn't seem to work where you can't absorb any iron, so... been taking all kinds of irons in the last 5 or 6 years, and all they do is severe constipation.
Right, right.
And it's understandable, you know. Right now it's acute anemia and getting transfusions. And the big thing is that the insurance companies don't want to pay doctors, so to speak. So the infusions...
Right.
For iron infusions,
right,
and plasma,
right,
really worked for 2 years.
Right. And the iron infusions, really, they really do work. They're expensive, and they've got to be approved. You often need pre-approval from your insurance company, but they really do make a difference if you're not absorbing iron.
That worked for 2 years, doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And but now we're taking the, what do you call it?
Oral iron pills?
Well, we took all kind of oil iron pills and changed dosages off and on, changed doctors. Right now, what we're taking is 15 mils of lactulose twice a day.
Okay.
And that, the constipation's so severe, it's just you don't want to deal with it. You
know. So is the lactulose working for you?
It's helping, but I'm still passing a lot of the dried up iron in the feces and constipation.
It's a big problem. Have you tried Miralax, by the way?
Yes.
And how much have you taken a lot of that? Miralax is also, like lactulose, that can often also work. Has that helped you at all, the Miralax?
Well, it's kind of does and doesn't, you know, with the situation.
Sure. I'll give you something that I would recommend. First of all, iron is constipating. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, just it's a constipating thing. So what I often tell people is a combination of either lactulose or Miralax, and Metamucil, which is fiber, totally different, works in a totally different way. And so I often recommend that they take a scoop of Metamucil. The generic works just as good as the name brand. And the other day I looked at the grocery store. I'm going to be going on a trip to India to deliver some medications. And I often, for the first 2 or 3 days, I don't get enough fiber in my diet. So I went to look at these, you know, look at fiber products and discovered that the generic is 50% less than the name brand. Shocking. I wasn't really shocked, but I was shocked at how expensive the name brand is. Generic Metamucil, one scoop a day or two scoops a day, along with the lactulose, and that combination may work for you. They work in two different ways, and they can really make a difference. And with the
Sounds super good. You know, never even thought about it.
It really, it gives more fiber in there. And the thing about the Metamucil that's important, you put in a glass of water, you know, mix it up, drink it right away. There'll be some left in the, you know, in the glass. If you can, take another glass of water and drink the rest of it. But you've got to make sure you've got enough water in there when you take the Metamucil so that by the time it gets to your gut, it kind of blows up a little bit and begins to scour that gut. That's what I would recommend, the lactulose and Metamucil in your case.
I understand. Oh, you're so great, Doc. If we can get you on the TV somehow. it's been years of suffering, you know, and it doesn't seem to get any better. But your situation you've explained right now is entirely different, and I'm going to try it.
Thank you.
And maybe I can give the producer a call in the future. Let's give it three or four months.
Exactly right. Give us a call back and let us know how it goes. I think you should do that. Give a call to Carl. He's always interested in constipation.
Oh yeah. Let us know.
But actually, constipation is a big issue.
Sure.
And in your case, we'd like to know exactly how that happens. So give us a call back. I'd really appreciate it.
Okay. I want to thank you for taking all your time and all your knowledge, and you really introduced me to something different that maybe can work, Doc.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for
your call. And I wish all the other people listening could listen to your show to get this information, because there are others.
There are others, yes, for sure.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for sharing that. We'll talk to you in a few months.
Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, you take care.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Carl. Thank you, Dr. Zorba.
Thank
and
you.
Please, you're helping other people. I know it at the same time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Appreciate the compliment very much.
By the way, is it snowing up there in Wisconsin?
Not quite. A little dusting.
A little dusting.
Okay.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's get to our first healthy living topic. And Zorba, to set up this topic, I just wanted to do something here. I've kind of wanted to do this for a while. You know how on Saturday Night Live, I love the show.
SNL.
I've been watching it since I was a kid.
Yeah.
They have fake commercials for fake products and stuff.
Yes.
One of my favorites of all time, and this I'm tying this in with this new research that we're going to talk about in a second, is you know how drug ads, pharmaceutical ads, they just give you a laundry list of side effects and they just rip through it as fast.
Right.
Someone's speaking
twice as fast as they should. You're going to live twice as long forever.
Yeah.
And then they have to go through the side effects and they go like...
Exactly. So there was a fake commercial on Saturday Night Live, and this is back in the early 90s, and it was for this toy called Happy Fun Ball. And it's just a red bouncy ball, and they have, you know, the visuals were kids playing with this ball. Mm-hmm. And let's just listen to this clip. I edited it down. It's longer than this, but they go through a whole list of things.
Okay.
So let's hear the clip, Brad.
It's happy.
It's fun. It's Happy Fun Ball.
Yes, it's Happy Fun Ball, the toy sensation that's sweeping the nation.
Warning, pregnant women, the elderly, and children under 10 should avoid prolonged exposure to Happy Fun Ball. Caution, Happy Fun Ball may suddenly accelerate to dangerous speeds. Happy Fun Ball contains a liquid core, which, if exposed due to rupture, should not be touched, inhaled, or looked at. Do not use Happy Fun Ball on concrete. Do not taunt Happy Fun Ball.
Happy Fun Ball! Accept no substitute!
So, do not taunt Happy Fun Ball is something I've been saying and thinking about probably every month since I heard that back in the early 90s. Anyways, I looked up, that was 1991, and it was in February, and so I'm wondering, why did this stick with me all these years? And I'm pretty sure I had a sleepover for my birthday because I have a February birthday.
You mean in 1991?
Yes, and I was in middle school and had my friends over, and I'm pretty sure we watched that. Yeah. And it just do not taunt Happy Fun Ball, really. Just it's I don't know why I think that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Listen to the commercials that are on TV for ads. They promise you everything.
Right.
And then they go through all the possible side effects, but they show
horrible
happy
side
people
effects
doing
sometimes.
Things.
Like,
yeah, but they show people bouncing and they're having a wonderful time. And they say you may get an anemia, you may die, you may do this.
Right.
But they're not showing you bad stuff when it's actually happening. So,
yeah, right. And that ties in with this new research.
This
What's
huge,
the FDA saying
well,
now?
This is a huge issue. I don't think this is a small issue. And, you know, I was brought up, I mean, it used to be that you could not advertise on TV for drugs. Hard to believe.
They
I
just
don't know
had
how many,
cigarettes. I remember that back
well,
way.
Well, we had, yeah. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, they advertised cigarettes. Right. I still know the jingles. But you
but
couldn't
no
advertise drugs.
Right.
And then the FDA allowed drug advertising. There are very few countries. Last time I looked, it was the U.S. and New Zealand. Mm. And in many ways, it's really dumb and stupid because here it is. You're advertising drugs to people who don't understand, you know, what's going on. On the other hand, and this is the other hand, maybe you're providing information so people will ask about a drug and a drug possibility. On the other hand, the drugs that are advertised are drugs that are the most expensive. Mm. So if you look at the rheumatology drugs, they may cost $10,000 a year, $20,000 a year. Those are the ones that are being advertised, and they're paid for by your insurance company, which means inevitably you are paying for it.
Okay.
When insurance company pays, that means you pay because your insurance rates go up. But the FDA has now changed some rules. Mm. They've spent, quote, according to research, 15 years crafting new guidelines. Can't imagine somebody actually spending 15 years of their life crafting guidelines. I think it's just been 15 years since they crafted new guidelines. That is more like it. And what they've done, and there's about $4 to $5 billion spent on ads. We all see them. They have to instruct. They have to have simpler, consumer-friendly language describing the drugs without medical jargon and distracting visuals. It's the distracting visuals. You know, people jumping into the pool while they're actually saying you may die from an aplastic anemia. They're not
someone like a dad throwing a football through a tire swing. I remember that one.
Yeah,
from
well,
a
that
few
was that actually was for another
was
Viagra.
That was okay.
Yeah,
that's why I remember.
And it was Dick Butkus who actually was throwing the football through that. And when you think of the visual, you can see it's a sexual visual.
Oh, of course,
a football.
Probably
but
why
I, mean,
I remember.
But also, it's sexual visual if you knew what it was. But kids would just say, "Hey, that's Dick Butkus."
Right, go over their head.
Yeah, that ad no longer is around. But anyway, the issue is a balance issue. So I think there are other, you know, we may see some difference in ads. And I think what you have to do is you see an ad on TV, you know, if you talk to your doctor, nothing wrong with that, but realize the ads are there to try to get you to purchase something that costs more money, even though you may not know exactly what that is. Some of the ads are good, some of the ads are not good. But the real thing is to listen to shows like we have here, get good medical information so you can make an informed decision. And remember, ads are trying to get you to buy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it binds something that you don't really need.
So can I say, do not taunt Dr. Zorba Pastor?
Do not taunt me. That's right. You can tell I have a strong opinion about that. I was taunted by the commercials, so that's right.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. You can leave us a voicemail anytime.
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 Let's go to one of those now. This is a listener from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hey, doctor. I frequently get ear infections a couple times a year. When I was younger, I had tubes put in my ear, and there seems to be no way to mitigate it. I was hoping you had some sort of advice on how to prevent that from happening, and when it does happen, how to reduce the pain. Thank you.
Ear infections are terrible. Did you ever get an ear infection?
I used to get them a lot as a kid.
Do you remember how painful they were?
I do, actually, yeah. When I was really young, but I do remember those.
The trigeminal nerve, which is the nerve for our face, there are three different branches, but the trigeminal nerve has a lot of, within the brain, it has a lot of power. It has a lot of representation. And anything in the trigeminal nerve, from the teeth to the eyes, you know, to the ears, just so painful, you know, just so uncomfortable with that. And, you know, and the audio, anyway. Number seven, this number seven cranial nerve also has an effect there. Well, first of all, Having tubes in your ears sometimes as an adult actually will help with chronic ear infections. Some people are put on low-dose antibiotics for longer periods of time to try to get rid of the infection. So they may be treated for an infection, but going back and making sure the treatment was complete is kind of an important, is kind of an important issue. And then another thing that he may try is a steroid nasal spray, because a steroid nasal spray in the nose can open up the eustachian tube, and the eustachian tube is the ventilation tube for the middle ear. And it might be a problem with the ventilation tube, the eustachian tube, that's causing it. And so a daily steroid spray such as Flonase generic, which you can now buy over the counter without a prescription, one squirt a day in each nostril or one squirt twice a day, might allow some ventilation in the eustachian tube. And that might help keep from getting infected. And if he hasn't tried it, he should.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we take a break, Zorba, we always love hearing from the Grammar Police. I know you do especially. Here's a new one, though. This email came from the most patient division of the Grammar
None
Police.
None of them are patient.
This division's very patient.
I mean,
patient.
They stop me on the street. You know, they correct my grammar on the street. When I'm thinking, they're saying, we know you're thinking using the comma too much. You know, yeah. People just stop me. Well, they don't stop me. Okay. But they do stop me in the grocery store and in the dog park.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Which is exactly what you want,
they'll
right?
They'll say, I'm a member of the Grammar Police. Well, it's a joke, you know.
Sure.
I mean, it's a joke, you know.
It comes with the show, right?
Comes with the show. That's
right.
There you
right. Go. So this is a very patient division of the Grammar Police. This one is from the Interrupting Police.
Oh.
Interrupting.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're inter.
No, I just want to say interrupting.
It's terrible. That's
going to drive this person nuts. He's just hearing that jingle. Okay, this is from Lucille in Knoxville, Tennessee. Lucille writes, Dear Dr. Zorba and Carl, I've been a fan for years. I've enjoyed every episode, learned so much, and I'm very grateful for your wisdom. I think she's talking to you,
very
not,
nice.
Not me.
Yeah.
Your
right.
Wisdom. Yeah. With all due mm-hmm. respect, I have a request.
With all due respect, that's
a nice start.
That's a nice start. Right.
Please be aware,
mm-hmm. yeah.
in your spirited enthusiasm,
okay.
you talk uh-huh. over each other.
Yeah, yeah.
We've heard this before.
Yeah,
we
have heard this, yeah. yeah.
Let
yeah.
one
yeah. My family has heard this too, by the way.
You're doing it right
that's
now.
Right. Yeah, that's right. I hold myself. I
okay. Let one finish the sentence
okay.
before the other interjects.
Good idea.
For us yeah. listeners, it sometimes sounds like a cacophony of noise.
It is a cacophony.
Which would be
of
a good.
Noise.
That's yeah. a good death
cacophony
death
of
metal
noise.
Band name.
I like
I feel
cacophony,
like.
Of, cacophony noise. Of noise. Cacophony
Lucille
of noise.
Continues. I hope I haven't offended either of you
death
because I love
death metal band cacophony of noise.
Doesn't that sound like it?
It goes down a different track. It's okay. a different kind of police.
I don't think you're still interrupting, and I'm probably talking
I'll
over
stop.
You. But
I'll
anyways,
stop.
Lucille says, I hope I haven't offended either of you because I love your humorous dialogue mm-hmm. when I can understand it.
Okay.
Thank you for all you do to make us all healthy.
I don't find it offensive.
I'm not offended.
I'm not offended.
I appreciate
I'm not that offended.
Email.
I'm not that offended by it.
I think it takes a lot to offend you, Zorba.
That's right. No, I don't get offended that easily.
Okay.
No, I don't. That's
so
it?
That was it. That's
end of show. I don't get very offended. I'm out of here. I'm out of here.
Should we do this again next week, Zorba? Okay. That's all you're going to say on that.
I'm done.
Let's not interrupt each other anymore. Do you want to join the ever-growing Grammar Police Force? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right, more of your calls to come, more of your emails, and we're going to put together a tasty side dish, roasted parsnips and carrots.
Delicious.
It's going to be nice. All of that coming up on Zorba Pasture on Your Health
from PRX.
Carl Christensen in Buck Studio in Madison, Wisconsin. You're listening to Zorba Pastor on Your Health, and I am sitting right across the desk from Dr. Zorba Pastor. He's right there. Oh, what are you? He's wearing, listeners, he's wearing some kind of contraption around his neck. Right. It's almost like St. Bernard wearing a whiskey barrel around
kind
his neck.
Looks like
what
that.
Is that? You walked into the studio wearing this thing.
I am going to India, beginning on an airplane, going to India, and bringing some immunizations that they don't have in India. It's a pneumonia immunization called the Prenvar 20, and they don't have it in India. And there are a number of monks in India who need this, who have some illnesses. So I'm bringing it there. And the little contraption that I have around my neck is a heat exchanger, and it's interesting because I was thinking I've got to get on an airplane, got to get some ice, I've got to get through customs, I have to get through, you know, all these TSA.
It's important stuff you're wearing.
It's important stuff. You can go through TSA with it, but you've got to do it the right way. Mm-hmm. But you've got to keep it cold. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can't get warm. It's got to stay cold. And this little device has a little fan on it, and I have to keep it with batteries and plug it in. And basically, it will stay cold all the way for the next 32 hours. It'll take me about 32 hours before I'll get to my particular spot. It's kind of neat.
It's high-tech stuff. It's pretty cool.
High-tech stuff, wonderful. And it's nice because I'm able to help some people in India. I do medical mission work with tuberculosis in India and the Tibetan population. I've been very involved with Tibetan culture for most of my life, about 45, 50 years. And it's a win-win situation. I help them, and I feel good about it. And it's something that we can all do to help each other. And it's a great thing for me, and it's a great thing for others.
That's really, really cool, Zorba. That's you.
Thank you.
All that on top of helping all the people that are listening now. And if you have a question, if you need help from Dr. Zorba, 800-462-7413. Call that number anytime. That's 800-462-7413. Before we get back to the phones, let's do this recipe. We have a pretty cool recipe here, kind of a side dish, roasted parsnips and carrots.
That's right. Now, parsnips are kind of interesting. I use parsnips when I make chicken soup.
Oh, okay.
I use carrots and parsnips. Parsnips make the chicken soup sweeter. They are sweeter than a carrot.
Really?
And it's very interesting. You don't think of it as sweet, because if you eat it raw, which you can, but we don't tend to eat it raw because it's bitter. We tend to eat them when they're cooked, when they're roasted, or they're boiled. But in chicken soup, they add a certain flavor and sort of an umami that goes along with carrots and onions. And it's the recipe that I've used for many, many years. But these root vegetables can be very good. And parsnips and carrots and parsley, believe it or not, are in the same sort of family. They've got potential health. They've got a number of antioxidants that may actually be anti-inflammatories. They're antifungal. They have a little bit of vitamin C. A lot of the vitamins, believe it or not, are actually right around the outside of the parsnip. So if you take your parsnip, you know, washing it will be better than simply sort of taking and scraping.
Don't peel it.
The outside. But peel it a little bit is okay, but not peeling it just like a potato.
Yeah.
A lot of vitamins are actually in the skin. It's the same with the parsnip. But if you've never tried anything with parsnips, you ought to try this recipe.
I'm going to try
it. It's a simple recipe. It's really easy to do.
Okay.
So you start out with 1 pound of parsnips.
1 pound of parsnips.
Pound of carrots.
Pound of carrots.
Pound of carrots. So 3 tablespoonfuls of, you could use, this is an Indian recipe, you could use 3 tablespoons of butter or oil, but you could also use ghee, G-H-E-E. And ghee is clarified butter. You find that in a number of stores. Mm-hmm. I find it more and more. I found it in Costco the other day, but I looked at it and I said,
Was it a whole pallet of ghee?
But it's also in my big grocery store that I go to, and of course in Asian grocery stores. And ghee is wonderful. It's more buttery than butter in many ways because the milk solids are sort of boiled out of it. A little sea salt.
All right, a little sea salt.
Tablespoonful of honey.
1 big tea honey.
And 2 tablespoonfuls of chopped parsley.
2 big tea chopped parsley.
Let's make it. Preheat the oven at 425, whether you have a regular oven or a convection oven. Do you have a convection oven?
Yes.
I just put one in my house.
Yeah.
Put a large roasting tin in the oven. Get it hot before you actually are starting this. You want to preheat the tin. Cut the parsley in half lengthwise and again widthwise. So basically you're getting smaller little half discs of parsley. Add to boiling salty water and cook for 5 minutes. A little salt in the water. Cook it for 5 minutes. You're going to sort of pre-cook a little bit. Then Take the pan out of the oven, put the ghee or olive oil, if you don't have ghee or butter, in the tin. Make sure that that actually is now sort of in the tin and is hot and is now basically melted. Add the vegetables, turn them all around, season it if you want to, a little bit of pepper, roast it for 25 minutes or so till it's cooked all the way through, then drizzle the honey over the top of it. Mm. Cook it a little bit more until it's golden brown, then put sea salt and parsley and serve it. It's really good. A little bit sweet because you put the honey in it, but the parsnips themselves are sweet. Carrots, it's a really good side dish. The parsley on top of it makes it look good. And this would go well with fish. This would go well with chicken. And also, it's just another way to use a vegetable that we don't use very much at all.
Right.
And I think you should try it.
I will. This is a root vegetable. I cook a lot with root vegetables.
Really, really good. I've got a good friend. Her name is Judy. She loves roasted vegetables. It's just one of the things she likes to have. And my daughter, Dee Dee, cooks roasted vegetables all the time. And if you don't roast vegetables enough, try this recipe.
All right. And where can they find this recipe?
I think they could go to our website
Internet?
If they really try. Internet, zorbapastor.org. That's zorbapastor.org. And, of course, on Facebook.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to the phones now. Let's try to help out a caller in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, good day. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. How can we help you?
Well, I am under 40. I was diagnosed with cancer at 33.
Wow. What sort of cancer?
Multiple myeloma.
Uh-huh.
So a terminal white blood cell cancer. I had suspected that I had had it, since probably my late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
It, just took a very long time for me to get diagnosed. I was told I was too young.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of other issues. But it took,
took a long time before the diagnosis was made. How was it made? You were anemic and they did a blood count, or how did they make the diagnosis?
I finally got a PCP that listened to me.
Oh, good.
And she did the testing and she called me. It was a Monday morning. And when your doctor calls you, it's never really the greatest thing. But I was at Carbone that afternoon and started chemotherapy that day.
Great.
It was at Advanced.
Wonderful.
But I am doing much better now.
Mm-hmm. Super.
I am kicking its butt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a mother of three.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
I plan to be there.
Right.
I was supposed to already be gone, and I plan to be there for them as long as possible.
Sure, of course.
Normal treatment for multiple myeloma is to be on continuous chemotherapy, low dose. I have chosen not to do that. My body is just overwhelmed, and I've chosen to wait until my levels come back up to go back on.
And then go on a higher dose.
And then go back on as needed. I have been through a stem cell transplant.
Wow.
And live on chemo for close to 4 years, several different kinds. I still have to take acyclovir every day. But my main question for you would be, right now when I am not on chemo, I want to get my body as healthy as possible.
You bet.
And my main concern is my gut health.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get my gut biome as healthy as I can, because I feel like that would solve a lot of the other side issues that go along with being on chemotherapy.
When our gut isn't happy, we're not happy. You know,
absolutely.
I always talk about, by the way, there's a really good book about your gut, and the name of the book is Gulp.
Gulp. Okay.
G-U-L-P.
I'm writing that
Gulp.
Down.
It's a great book. And it's the woman who also wrote a book called Stiff, which was about how we die and the cremation industry. But Gulp starts at the mouth and ends at the anus. The whole elementary tract. Here's what I recommend, a few things. So first of all, Metamucil, the generic Metamucil, which is a psyllium seed husk. Are you taking that on a regular basis?
I do. I love the psyllium seed husk myself.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Yes, I have the orange lid jars everywhere.
Right. That's right. Do you tolerate dairy products? Do you eat yogurt?
I have become lactose intolerant since the stem cell transplant, but I can handle yogurt.
And if not, some Lactaid with the yogurt can make it, because that's the enzyme that you just have at the same time to digest it. Because yogurt is a natural probiotic, and that's what you're really looking for. You're looking for probiotics to help your, you know, your gut health. You eat a variety of fruits and vegetables. Does your gut tolerate that?
It does. Mm-hmm. I definitely have stomach issues, and I need to be careful with fresh fruits and vegetables, which sounds crazy.
No, because when you have...
Because you're neutropenic.
Yeah, but the reality is fresh fruits and vegetables are sometimes more difficult. When we actually heat things, many things, we digest them easier.
Okay.
So, you know, taking fruits...
And you're losing much nutrients?
Well, you're losing some nutrients, but you're getting some nutrients, because if you don't tolerate fresh stuff... And you say, well, I don't tolerate fresh stuff, I can't eat it. Then you're not, and you don't eat anything that's cooked. You know what I mean? You have to, what I would do is you want a variety of fruits and vegetables that you tolerate in a cooked state. And of course, you want to take a multivitamin. I think every day, want to take a multivitamin, one you tolerate.
Yes, I do.
You know, I get a multivitamin. I have gummy multivitamins because I don't like to take the big tablet. And then you also really want to take some probiotics. I think every day. And if you look at places like the Cleveland Clinic and you look at Mayo Clinic, more and more they're looking at probiotics. And what I would do, I don't remember the names of the ones that they recommend, but I would go to the Johns Hopkins, Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic website and look at the type of probiotics that they recommend, and that's the ones that I would get. Lactobacillus is the probiotic in yogurt, but I would look at a variety of probiotics because they may help you digest things, because we know that our gut has bacteria in it that are good for us. I mean, it's a symbiotic relationship. We feed them, they help us.
Correct, yes. And And taking the acyclovir every day
is
part of my problem, so I kind of need to rebuild every day.
Right. And you take it every day for?
As far as I understand from oncology, it's normal practice because the white blood cell cancer has me constantly neutropenic, so it helps me avoid things.
So acyclovir helps with that. I'm not familiar with it. Well, you just taught me something.
Yeah, it's antifungal and antibacterial. So,
Excellent.
Antibiotics.
So try those things. Try those things. Read the book. You'll have a fun time with the book. Play with your kids. And you are fighting back for something that happened with your body and was there for a while. You had a stem cell transplant. Now you're going, I don't know, if you'll figure out what you're going to do, like you say, you don't want to be in the chemo every day. You want to do it when it flares. When the flares come, Carbone Cancer Center is one of the top cancer centers in the United States. You're under good care. Keep it up. Keep up your attitude, because you want to stay alive for your three kids.
I absolutely will, and I thank you so much for your help and your advice. I have written everything down and cannot wait to research and put this into practice. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling, and thanks for sharing. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we take a break, Zorba, it's time to scroll through the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page for another edition of Facebook Feedback.
Facebook Feedback.
You like that a little. All right, the following message came from Becky in River Hills, Wisconsin, who writes, "You have spoken about arthritis being relieved by bee stings on prior shows. A relative of Carl's, I believe." And just a little background on that. It's actually my wife's grandpa would purposely, he had arthritis in his hands, and he was also a beekeeper, so he would purposely sting his hands to relieve the arthritis pain.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
With the bee, yeah. And now we have all the beekeeping equipment in our backyard, and we've used
you mean his beekeeping
yeah,
equipment?
Yeah, all his bee boxes, so, all his stuff.
So you're raising bees?
Since we had kids, we kind of put a pause on it, but before the kids, we, for a couple of years there, we had a lot of bees in our backyard.
Really? How neat was that?
A lot of fresh honey.
Really?
It was great. We're going to get back into it once the kids get
wonderful.
A little older.
Yeah, they've got to be older to stay away.
Yeah.
Well, you had the whole garb, like the hat and everything else.
The smoker thing.
The smoker?
And, yeah, all that stuff. It was really fun. She did most of it. Uh-huh. I just kind of was marveling and watching it. It was pretty cool to watch.
That is very cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so he would sting his knuckles and his hands for arthritis relief.
There's a book written, I can't remember the name, a new book written from the point of view of a bee that's living in a hive.
Oh, really?
That's right. My daughter Dee told me about it. I don't remember the name of the book, but I was just, anyone who's listening who remembers the name of the book of the bee that's living in the hive. Anyway,
Let us know,
the bee's point of view of what's it like to live in the hive.
Okay, back to Becky's email. Becky says, so what's your opinion on the effect of bee venom creams that you can easily purchase? Are they effective for arthritis relief to the hand? Also, are there any studies on the effect of temperature and arthritis pain? Thanks. Love your show and helpful tips.
Well, there are studies. Temperature and arthritis pain. We used to, with people with severe arthritis, we used to have hot wax. It was warm wax where you'd put your hand in a... Mm. This is when I first was in medical school. They had these little contraptions that warmed wax and people... This is before ibuprofen was invented.
Oh, okay.
So it's before anti-inflammatories. Put their hands in wax, take it out, and the wax would keep your hand warm for a period of time. And people would do that once or twice a day or longer if they had it. So we know that heat really does work. And then anti-inflammatories came out. Basically, we don't do that very often because, frankly, they're better. But they're anti-inflammatory creams. Diclofenac, which is an anti-inflammatory cream, we know that works. Bee venom cream may work.
Hmm.
Do I know a study? I don't know of any study on it. I'd have to do some research on it. But it's an idea. But the sting is going to be different because that's going in your body. Your body is having a reaction. That's going to be different because your body, it's a venom, and it's in your body. And you have enough stings, you're not going to feel good. And if you get really a lot of stings, we're talking about like a whole hive goes after you. You can die.
Oh, sure.
And I'm just mentioning that because the venom itself is an issue in the body as the body absorbs it. Try the cream, see if it works. And I always recommend if you're trying something where we don't have research, do it for 2 weeks, stop for 2 weeks, do it for 2 weeks, stop for 2 weeks, do that 3 or 4 times. Because initially you'll have the placebo effect. Hey, I bought this, I think it's going to work. But you don't really know unless you do it back and forth.
Good advice. Do you have a healthy living question for the good doc? Be sure to either post on our Facebook page or just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Much more of the show to come. We'll have more of your calls. We'll tackle another interesting healthy living topic and more of your emails as well. So keep it right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health
from PRX.
Carl Christensen in Buck Studio in Madison, Wisconsin. You are listening to Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Thanks, by the way, for listening if you're listening right
now. Absolutely.
If you can hear my voice, thank
you
for listening.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dr. Zorba's right there. I see him right there. He's got look at that hat. That's a Packer hat, right?
It's a Packer hat, of course. That's right.
They're doing okay this year. Let's get to our healthy living topic, though. Actually, I should say the number, 800-462-7413. If you have a healthy living question for the good doc, that's 800-462-7413. But first, let's do our healthy living topic. I'm just going to read this headline. Small amounts of incidental vigorous physical exertion may almost have... And that's like in half major cardiovascular events for women.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that may be an overstatement of what we're finding here, but it's a very important statement.
Okay,
it's very important, and that's what the researchers were talking about in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. So here's what they did. So first of all, let's establish this was in the UK, United Kingdom. They have one insurance company. It's called the government.
Sure.
So they have really good data. In other words, their data is good. It's not like they have one company goes to another country. You know what I mean? Rather, one insurance company to another one. They also have good data on who lives and who dies. It's one place. It's the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. So their data is really good. So what they did was they were looking at activity back in 2013 to 2015. Average age of the people, middle-aged men and women, about 80,000, okay? Mm-hmm. Average age was 61, okay? So after 61, you know, look, 5 or 10 years, you know, that's the time that you're starting to notice heart attacks. And they put on an activity tracker for 24 hours a day.
Okay.
Kind of like your watch. In sure. fact, your watch is an activity tracker. But back in 2013, there weren't watches that did that as well.
Okay.
They were divided into three groups, three different groups. So group of people who exercised all the time, the group of people who never exercised at all, a group of people who said they strolled, they went and strolled. And then they looked at cardiovascular health. And then they analyzed men and women, and they looked at people who sort of went up and down stairs all the time. In other words, I may not exercise, but I go up and down the stairs. Or, you know, when I leave the grocery store, I really walk very quickly. I walk to my car. What they discovered, lo and behold, was that people who had literally like 2 to 4 minutes of brisk exercise every day, teeny tiny amount, appear to have less heart attacks. Hmm. Women, less heart attacks and stroke. I mean, they actually found out that they think it have the number of heart attacks and strokes. I think that's really an overread for the study. But it looked at people who had no formal exercise, but if they really went up and down the stairs quickly, I mean, they didn't necessarily do that on purpose. It might have been that they were going up to the third floor in their apartment and they were carrying groceries, mm-hmm. and they went up quickly. They seemed to have an effect from exercise.
Interesting.
So there's a bottom line here, which is that doing something makes a difference.
Right.
And I'm not recommending that the same thing as doing exercise on a regular basis, you get 4 minutes a day and you're going to get the same effect on that. But it shows you that 4 minutes of vigorous exercise makes a difference. So going up the stairs, go up the stairs quickly mm-hmm. so that you feel like you're a little short of breath. Or, mm-hmm. hey, you're walking, like right now we're at Wisconsin Public Radio, we're in Vilas Hall. If I go and walk to the parking lot, walk quicker.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Walk quicker when you're going to the parking lot so you feel like you're actually doing something versus just kind of, you know, kind of yeah. strolling along to use the absolutely minimal thing. But it shows you that these minimal amounts of exercise also make a difference in our lives. So the big difference is, slug bugs who don't do anything at all are really at the highest risk. And people who are doing something throughout the day, even for short bursts, actually appear to get some help from get some health benefit from that. And so that's an important part to think about as the new year approaches.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go to a voicemail now. This is a listener from Mount Vernon, Wisconsin.
Zorba, love your show. Saw you a long time ago at the first Mifflin block party, I think. Two questions. On the Voltaren, do I need to put on some kind of a glove before I spread that on my thumb joints? Because do I want to be absorbing it into my fingertips 4 times a day? Second question, I'm 80 years old. Why do my eyes water so much? They water half the time. They make my vision unclear. They make my nose run. Thank you, Zorba.
Mifflin Street Block Party. That was a long time ago,
yeah,
let me tell you.
Decades ago.
Yeah, decades ago. I can kind of remember it. I mean, I actually do remember it. I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they said, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
I've heard that one.
It's kind of funny. You don't have to put on a glove when you're doing Voltaren. First of all, it absorbs in there. You'll get a little of absorption in your fingers, but I don't think you have to be, you don't have to be obsessive enough to wear a glove. You may want to do it because you don't want the sticky stuff on your fingers, but you really, you know, you don't have to do that. 80 years old, your joints are going to ache. You made it to 80. Congratulations. Why do your eyes water? There's a number of reasons they may water. So first of all, it may be that the lower part of your eyelid is actually droopy. And ophthalmologists, because there's a dam, underneath there, but when you blink, when you actually produce drops, which we do to moisturize our eyes, you have to have, it's a little bit of a dam up there, and then it goes down the lacrimal duct, then goes into the nose, and goes out. So number one, it's possible you may actually need surgery, which you may or may not do, because that may be part of the issue. Look your eye in the mirror, and if you discover you don't see anything other than redness, look, open up, you know, push your eye.
Me?
You know,
go, yeah. Okay, I'm pushing it down.
And look in the mirror. See how, if you did that in the mirror, you would see, well, if you see red in the bottom, it means you don't have that high enough gutter in that lower lid.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's not the lower lid, but yeah, it is the lower lid part.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, you could also try moisturizing your eyes, because that might help. It might be your eyes are responding to dryness.
Hmm.
And so 3 to 4 times a day, you put in a liquid tears, either a gel or that with nothing in there at all, just an artificial tear. You get a microwavable eye mask, and you put it in the microwave for 20 seconds so that basically it gets nice and warm, and you put that over your eyes 3 to 4 times a day, and that will moisturize the conjunctiva, because that might be the issue. So in other words, you moisturize it more initially to see if that's the problem. And if that's the problem, that's it. And the other thing is, if you're sitting looking at your phone all the time or a screen, your eyes are going to water more.
Okay.
So you don't do that. Look outside. Look at the beauty of Mother Nature.
There you go.
Take a walk.
Sure.
You know.
That's good advice.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah,
that's right. I can see you're smiling, you know?
Outside. I want to go outside.
Smiling. It's, right.
It's a little cold,
well,
but
soon you get to go outside. Yeah. We have to finish the show, then
that's
you
true.
Get to go outside.
Then I get to go. All
that's right.
Right. Good advice, Norba. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, it's time for the segment where a real doctor takes on the legions of keyboard doctors out there flourishing on the internet. This is called Google Doc.
I gotta have some drumsticks. That's it, in the leather.
It's a little scraper.
Little scraper, right?
A little weirdo. All right. The following email came from, quote, a loyal listener in Bayfield, Wisconsin.
Okay. So it starts out good.
It's great.
Starts
yeah, they're loyal.
Okay.
There seems to be an awful lot out there these days concerning prebiotics and probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
But how is one to know what is legitimate? I'm 72 years old and do have somewhat intestinal distress and wonder which prebiotics and probiotics to trust. Can you offer any advice?
Well, first of all, good advice. If you're going to buy a prebiotic or probiotic, like any complementary medicine, I recommend a couple of different ways. First of all, if you go to a big box store, we're talking about CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, Costco, Target,
mm-hmm.
and you get their brand, then you're going to know that they are looking, because they want to make sure that the probiotic or prebiotic is in there. They're going to do their research, because they don't want all of a sudden newspaper reports said Target, for instance, doesn't sell, you know, there's nothing in their probiotics
sure.
or their prebiotics. So first of all, big boxes.
They're vetted. Their products
you know,
are
I
vetted.
Like small, I like, the other thing is, if you have a, go to a small pharmacy, you ask the pharmacist and you make sure they have done the research.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want them just to say, well, we have this on hand, because mm-hmm. I don't trust that. In other words, you've got to do it. The other thing is consumerlab.com.
Mm-hmm.
Company, pay $25-$30 for the year. They do the research, and they will tell you which prebiotics and which probiotics to get, because they will look and see which ones actually work, and they give a good discussion about that. And I would recommend that's the other way to really make sure you're getting what you're taking and putting in your mouth.
And I'm just going to quickly add something, because it's something I've heard you say on the show before, and that is, you mentioned the big box stores.
Right.
Also, like, having a relationship with your local, if you have a local,
yes.
if you go to a local
right.
pharmacy
right.
and knowing the
right.
pharmacist,
they have
you
a
trust
lot of information.
Them.
I try.
Right.
Pharmacists have great information.
Yep.
And pharmacists that love to get information, and they usually do love to give information, if they make a recommendation and you ask them, have you done the research? And they say yes,
mm-hmm.
then that's what you want to
go
have.
With that.
Versus, this is the probiotic that we carry here. I don't
right.
like that. I don't know what that means.
That's right. Do you want the good doc to verify something you read online? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's hear a voicemail now. This is from a listener in New York.
Yeah, good afternoon, Zorba Doctor. My question is this. Is there any particular food or diet someone who has glaucoma should be taking? Thank you.
You know, there's no specific diet that I know of for glaucoma.
Hmm.
First of all, glaucoma in the last 20, 30 years, we are so much better on glaucoma than we used to do. We pick it up.
Why is that?
Well, we have better meds. We have better medications, better eye drops. Mm-hmm. We also have surgeries because we can actually make laser holes to make sure there's drainage to reduce the pressure on the eye.
Okay.
Glaucoma used to be called the thief in the night. Because what happens, it's the peripheral circulation that goes, or the peripheral visual field that goes first. Hmm. So you don't notice it because when you read it, but in nighttime, you begin to notice that your night vision is basically less and less. We pick it up better because people are getting better eye care. You go to optometrists, not just ophthalmologists, and they put a puff of air on the eye, or they can measure what the eye pressure is. When I first started medicine, it's much more arduous. We're much better. Hmm. But there's no particular diet that works for glaucoma. The thing that works are the drugs and making sure you put your eye drops in on a regular basis according to the schedule. Some people it's once a day, some people it's twice a day. If it's twice a day, is it every 12 hours? Stick to the time that you should put the drops in, and you will save your eyes.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we head out today, Zorba, we love when our listeners chime in with their healthy living tips. The following tip came from Catherine in Wisconsin.
I was calling because I heard on the show the mom who called in about her daughter reacting to dairy products. And I am an adult in my late 30s, and I have always had some sensitivity to dairy. And for myself, I can attest in my own experience that baked things with dairy do not seem to impact me. That also includes, actually, for me, things like pancakes or waffles that might be made with milk, for example. I can also tolerate butter, small amounts of butter, but I cannot tolerate yogurts of any kind. So I am also one that finds vegan options just other substitutes, especially for protein and calcium in my diet. So just wanted to share that. Thanks.
That was great. Yeah, that was great.
So options.
Absolute options. So first of all, lactate, which helps you digest dairy products, are always something that you can take. It's an enzyme goes in. Works for some people, doesn't work for everyone. And then you find out which dairy products may work for you. Some people tolerate yogurt. Some tolerate a little bit of ice cream. Sometimes baked goods, like she said, she tolerates that. You find what works. There may be the amount you're eating. So some people can have a slice of pizza, but they can't have two slices or three slices. So maybe the type of dairy or that. Vegan items are a good substitute. Some have calcium, some do not. So you find the food that works and the way it works for you, and you experiment. And it's hard in the state of Wisconsin where it seems like dairy products are everywhere in everything.
Dairy tips from the dairy state is what's happening here. Do you have a tip or comment for the show? Just send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
That's it. That's the show.
That's it. Da-da-da-da. We're the trumpets. We're done. Really?
Should we do this again next week, Zorba?
I hope so. I hope so. I'm going to be here. I hope you're here.
I'll try. Okay. If you missed anything during the show, stream the show on our podcast anytime, visit us on the web
at zorbapastor.org or, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call the show anytime. Leave us a question at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
From WPR.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.